Scripture reading before this morning's lesson is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28-30. Matthew 11, 28-30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Good morning. Brother Cliff, as I look at the clock, if I speak 52 minutes, I can get an AM and PM here in our morning worship. I really didn't think that would get a laugh. He's going to do what? I want us to consider over the next few moments our Lord and Savior's words here as he gives this great invitation. Indeed, Christ Jesus, when he came to this earth, came to not to destroy, as he talked about the old law, or destroy what the prophets had to say, but simply to fulfill the old law and to fulfill what the prophets had to say in the prophesying of his coming. We find that when Christ Jesus came to this earth, that he brought a new way of thinking, and he brought a way of thinking that was in so many ways contradictory to what others had thought and what others had thought they had learned within their life. Christ Jesus, who came, and after we talked about temptation a couple weeks ago, out in the wilderness, we see him in the Sermon on the Mount, and as he comes forth and he begins to preach and begins to teach, and we see that Christ Jesus speaks things that are different than what they had heard in times past. Christ Jesus talks about forgiving a neighbor. Christ Jesus talks about turning the other cheek. He talks about love and loving your enemies. He talks about so many of those things that are different than what had been heard or what had been taught in times past. Christ offers a new way of thinking for all of us in here, a way that is different than the people of the world that we live in. But yet what we find out is that even as Christ went out to preach and to teach, that there were those that rejected his words. In our passage this morning, we don't have to back up very far to see that Jesus had sent out the 12. He'd sent out to those to go and to preach and to teach others of who he was and why he was here. We find that so many rejected Jesus. They rejected Christ for who he was, even though the prophecy pointed to him coming and pointed to him being the one that was the Messiah. As you see in Matthew chapter 11 in verses 20 through 24, there were woes to some of the impenitent cities. And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment for you. So many that were going about preaching and teaching that Christ Jesus is the one that has come. He's the one that has been prophesied about, and what we see that there is rejection of Christ Jesus from the very beginning. The apostles are rejected as to who he is. We find the scribes and Pharisees, they jump up and say, blasphemy. This man cannot be the Son of God. This man cannot be the one that he proclaims. And keep in mind, during this period of time, there was a lot of individuals that put faith in their own selves and their own thinking, their own thoughts. They put great faith in the philosophers that would have walked upon the earth at that period of time. And they simply said, this cannot be the one that is called Christ. But consider that as Jesus pronounced those woes upon those cities that he began to pray. And in verse 25, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And I consider those words in my reading, and I think about Christ Jesus as he would have said those things, and I wonder if he would have picked up his head when he said what he is about to say as we begin here in verse 28. Or I wonder if he would have looked to those that he was talking to at that point in time. But he prays this prayer to his Father. He thanks his Father that it has been revealed to him those things that should come to pass. That it has been revealed to those that were babes, not to those that were prudent, not to those that were wise. And we go clear throughout the Scripture, we find that God uses people that will be faithful to Him to further the cause of Christ. But then Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ Jesus came with the answers to the problems that all people were having. There was a sin problem. And besides the sin problem, there were all other kinds of problems that Jesus could offer relief to. All other kind of issues that Jesus could provide relief from. But he simply says, come unto me. Come unto me. This word that we find here that simply says come, it is from the Greek word doute. And this word doute, it's not an imperative. Jesus is not speaking here and say, come and you have to come. You know, it's interesting, us in here that are parents, we think about that word and we look at our children and we say, come. Well, we think that's an imperative, don't we? You know, if I tell you, you need to come here, you need to come. You need to get here right now. But in this passage of Scripture, it's not a command. It's not an imperative, but it is a request. It is a request that Jesus is giving out to someone, giving out to all people, saying, come unto me. Come unto me. I have something that is of profit. Boy, I made the mistake a couple weeks ago of filling out a survey online. Now all of a sudden I've got what seems to be almost every agency in the state saying, come unto me. I quickly delete those things. But Jesus says you have a choice. You have a choice whether you can come to me or not. I think about Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If any man will come, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Jesus says, come unto me. It's a universal plea. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. The Apostle Paul, in speaking of God, says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Jesus extends this invitation, but he says, you don't have to take it if you don't want it. We're going to talk about some stuff here this morning that's simply going to say to us, why would you not want to take this invitation? Because of what Jesus is able to provide and what Jesus is able to give. God sent His Son Christ so that all men could come unto Him, but it was going to be their decision. All men could be freed from the burden that they had within their life, but it has to be the decision as to whether or not they want to go to God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is our God. That is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that sent His only begotten Son. He loved the world that He sent Christ Jesus so that no man would perish. But within this right here, Jesus says, come to Me. Come to Me. It's not a command. It's not a demand. But it is a request that gives one profit if indeed they do come. Come to Me. Friends, I know I've mentioned this here before. We live in a society where we try to look for answers to almost everything. And we try to live longer and we try to continue to help ourselves look better. And I'm going to tell you, I fought the aging process for several years. I'm not winning. The time is going to come and which I will pass. And what happens then? Because I'm fighting a battle that I cannot win, Jesus comes and He says, come unto Me. I will give you a fight that you can win. I will give you a battle that you can win. I will give you a strategy in which you can overcome. But Jesus says, you need to come unto Me. Come to Me. Jesus recognized what He had within His life and what He was there to do. Jesus said, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. What does it mean to labor? What does it mean to be heavy laden? We go through this life and we find that our lives are filled with trial. It is filled with turmoil. I think we can take a look at these terms of labor and heavy laden from a physical sense as we work here within our life. And we can also take a look at it from a spiritual sense. Jesus said, come unto Me, ye that labor. But what is labor? Friends, we work, don't we? We work at different things as we go through life. We physically work. We're in the process of doing something. We can become hard-pressed by the labors within our life. Our bodies wear down and eventually our labor is going to cease. We need rest from the physical labors of this life because what we do at 20, we cannot do when we're 50, when we're 60, and when we're 70. It ceases to exist. Come unto Me, all ye that labor. What about spiritually? Labor cannot get us to God without His grace. No matter how hard we work in life, it is going to be the grace of God that saves us. And that's not to say that we don't work. But it is God's grace. Many had been waiting for the Messiah at this point in time. Many had been laboring without knowledge. What about those that are heavy laden? What about those that have trouble on their heart? You know, many are heavy laden with life when it comes to the burden of honor, to the burden of prestige. Those that are heavy laden in life can have issues that come through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We began to be heavy laden in doing things that we ought not to do. Maybe we know that we shouldn't do them and we go ahead and do them anyway. They bear on our conscience. We try to impress people with things we don't want with money that many times we don't have. And on our conscience, things become heavy laden. You know, as I've grown older, I think of illnesses. Boy, illnesses can become heavy laden on our minds, can they? Those that we have, those that our family has, those that our loved ones have, to the point where We almost think, how can I bear this any longer? I read a story yesterday. It's a story that I'd read many times before, but the story goes of two young boys that I picture to be probably in junior high school. And they were walking home from school, and the one looked and at this other student that was in his class, and he had every single one of his books in his hands. And the one student looked, and he couldn't believe what he saw, and he didn't quite understand why would this student be bringing every single book he has home with him. And the student that saw this boy with all the books, he kind of reminded me of me. Because on Friday nights, I had a friend that would bring every one of his books home. And I think, man, you're crazy. He got better grades than I did, by the way. Because I was ready to play football, and I was ready to go work on the farm, and I was ready to watch some TV, and I was ready to spend time with my brothers. There were so many things that were going on. And this young boy looked at the other one that was carrying all the books, and for a period of time, he thought, I should go help him. And he thought, nah, I won't. And he saw a group of bullies come by, and he shoved the kid down. His books went everywhere. And at that point in time, it prompted this one to go over and to help his soon-to-be friend that he saw carrying all the books. And he carried about half of them, and they struck up a relationship. And they asked him, what are you going to be doing this weekend? And he said, nothing. He said, well, me and some friends are getting ready tomorrow to play some football in the afternoon. Why don't you come and join us? And it turns out that that boy went, and he played football in the afternoon with him and all his friends. And we find that they developed a relationship, into which he started to be liked by many others that were in the school. Well, as it turns out, this young boy graduated as valedictorian, and he got up to give his valedictorian speech. And as he started that speech, he looked back at his friend. And he said, graduation is a time when you think of those people that have helped you. And he said, I want to thank my friend. I want to thank the one that came to my rescue and helped me on what was a bad, bad day. And it was going to be one of the worst days of my life. See, this boy that had all his books, he'd cleaned his locker out that day, so his mother wouldn't have to, because he planned on taking his life that weekend. And I don't know if it was fate or what it was that those two met. But I'm thankful that that one's still alive. But I think about how many others go through life carrying burdens. How many others go through life with a heavy load on their mind and on their heart that we don't even know about? But I know someone that does. Christ Jesus. See, these are the kind of folks that Christ Jesus extends his hand and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. We have issues, we have problems within our life. What Jesus tells us is, take them to Him. We struggle many times so great in our life with things that weigh on our heart, things that weigh on our mind. And there's Jesus with this great invitation that simply says to you and I, you don't have to struggle all by yourself with this stuff. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I think about that term rest and what does it mean? Personally, I look at this and I consider rest that I can have in the life that I live right now. But also I consider the rest that I can have in the great hereafter. The rest that I can have if I go to Jesus, if I accept His invitation. If I have all those things in my life that I simply say, Jesus, help me with these things. And we'll explain more of this here in just a second. But I can have rest. I can have understanding from one who has been through this life, been through this process. I can have one in which I don't have to be filled with the labor and the turmoil in my life because Jesus has said, let me help you bear this load. How does He do that? He says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is a crossbar with two U-shaped pieces that yoke together animals will tow different things working as a team. Being yoked with Christ will be to work with Him in a common direction. And as we work with Christ in that common direction, He has overcome what it is that we want to get through and eventually get to. We want to get through this life and we want to get to heaven. Christ Jesus got through this life, and where does He sit right now? On the right hand of God. Friends, that's where we want to go. Jesus says, come unto me. He says, I know you're going to struggle in this life. I know that you're going to have pains and you're going to have burdens and you're going to have things that weigh upon your heart. You're going to have things that just make it seem like such a struggle. And for those of us that are even Christians, we know that being yoked to Christ, it still gets difficult with the load that we bear. But yet we go through life with somebody that has already been through it. We go through life with one that has overcome. This idea of being yoked. I am a country boy that grew up on a farm. But we never yoked our animals. We had a tractor. But as I was doing a little research about this idea of yoking animals together, I was fascinated to read about what animals yoked together would be able to pull. And it's interesting that you can yoke one animal and have them pull something. And part of the research that I did indicated that they could pull about twice their weight. But when there were two animals of equal size that were yoked together, they could pull almost seven times their combined weight. Boy, something to be said there for the team concept, isn't there? Something to be said there about Christ Jesus and being yoked to Him. Me, a struggling Christian, being yoked to one that has overcome the world. Me, one that continues to struggle with life's decisions and life's way, being yoked with Christ, who kept his mind on the goal of heaven his entire life. Who kept his mind on the will of the Father his entire life. Jesus says to take the yoke upon you. Friends, again, I go back to say it's our decision. He's not going to put it on us against our will. We have to put it on ourselves. It is not enough to see the yoke or have the yoke in possession if we're not going to use it with Christ. Take my yoke upon you. And then what does Jesus say? He says, and learn of me. He says, come and take my yoke and learn of me. You know, Jesus, the one that we're going to be yoked to, He didn't go through this life without struggle. He didn't go through this life without problems, without temptation. He didn't go through this life without labor and toil. He didn't go through this life without a heavy heart. Problems are still going to exist. But you know, we think about Christ Jesus and being yoked to Him. We know that His commandments are not grievous. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." They're not burdensome. Friends, Christ gives us a way to live that's not going to tear us down. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to cause us harm. Living a life yoked to Christ is only going to help us. It's only going to strengthen us in all things that we do. But we must learn of Christ. We come to Christ, we take the yoke, and we learn of Him. Boy, we could be here all day and all week and not even come close to learning all the things that we need to learn about Christ. Every time I open the Bible, I seem to feel like I learned something new about Christ. But Christ says, "Come and learn of me." Christ says, "Learn of me, for I am gentle." There was a minister that once said, "Gentleness is a divine trait. Nothing as strong as gentleness, and nothing as gentle as real strength." Gentleness is simply defined as sensitivity of disposition and kindness of character. It's founded on strength, and it is prompted by love. The love of Christ and how powerful that He was. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, here Isaiah said, "He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are young." What a comforting verse that is. He will gather the lambs with His arm, and He will carry them in His bosom. He will hold them. He will protect them. He will make sure that nothing comes in to hurt them. And He will gently lead those who are young. Boy, how great it is to have a shepherd like Christ, who is gentle in His love and great in His strength. That we know He is there to protect us, to help us, and to give us the direction to live our life unto Him. You know, I think about Christ. He was a leader of men. He was a man of direction that always set an example. But what about lowly in heart? What about the meekness of Christ, the humility of Christ? I think of the great strength of Christ, what He could do through His power and what He could do through His miracles, and yet all that He did was exemplified in His love by coming down here upon this earth. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. One of my favorite passages of Scripture when it comes to Christ. Because the Apostle Paul tells the church at Philippi, "Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." Boy, that exemplifies Christ from the very beginning, doesn't it? Christ Jesus, who didn't look out for only His interest, but He looked out for everybody's interest. Well, how is that? He came and made a way that we can have the hope of eternal life. He came and blazed a path that led from us here upon this earth back to God who was in heaven. That no longer there had to be a separation of man and God. That through Christ Jesus, we can get there to help others. "Let this mind be in you," in verse 5, "which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Boy, what does it mean to be humble? I can't imagine leaving heaven and walking here upon this earth. I can't imagine making that move. Leaving heaven, and I don't think we're going to fully understand what Christ did until we make heaven our home one day ourselves. Why would you want to leave there? Boy, it gets back to love, doesn't it? Gets back to gentleness. Strength and love, because God loved us that He made a way. God loved us that He made a way. He humbled Himself. He became a bond servant. He wasn't forced to come here. He chose to come here. He didn't have to, but because of love, He did. I think about the love of Christ. And I think about Him upon that cross, and I think of all of us in this auditorium this morning. I look back and I see the precious souls of all of us. And I think Christ Jesus died upon that cross so that we could have the hope of eternal life. I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Good people sitting here today. God loves us. Loves us so much that He sent His Son. But consider also the love of God. For everyone that's not here this morning or not worshiping God, Christ died upon that cross as well. For those that live lives that are full of violence and hate, full of strife and envy, and full of murder, Christ died upon the cross for them also. What great humbleness there is in Christ Jesus. Equal to God, and He became a bond servant. Being found in the appearance of man, in verse 8, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Didn't have to, but because of love. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Learn of Me. Learn of Me. There's no greater person in the history of the world that we can learn about other than Christ Jesus and the love that He has for us. He was always focused on being a servant. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus said here, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Over in John chapter 13 verses 1 through 17, He washed His disciples' feet. That was not the job of a master. It was not the job of a teacher. It was not the job of a king. But Jesus said, you see Me doing this, you do it also. The great servant, Christ Jesus. But what of Christ's rest? Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm chapter 4. There's just Psalm 4. Psalm 4. I know that in Christ I can have peace on this earth. I know that in Christ my heart does not have to be troubled. No, the difficult times are not going to pass away. But I know that if I come to Christ, that if I take on that yoke, and that if I learn of Him, I have peace and comfort all of my days. Because this world is not my home, but I'm going to walk through it, being yoked with Christ, marching toward heaven, my home. In Psalm 4, here David said, beginning in verse 1, hear Me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in any distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for Himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus will give you rest. Take the yoke upon you. Be yoked together with Christ to walk in peace, to walk in comfort. Learn of Christ. Learn of His gentleness. Learn of His love. Learn of His humility. And find rest for your souls. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. Have you come to Jesus? The great invitation that Christ spoke right here. He speaks to men everywhere. Come to me. I know that there are those in life who hurt. Christ has the answers. I know there are those in life that labor. Christ has the answers. I know there are those in life that are heavy laden with the burdens of sin, the burdens of turmoil in this life. There are many that walk through life feeling that there is no hope, but in Christ there is. In Christ there is promise and there's guarantee that there will be rest for your soul. If you believe that Christ Jesus is that Son of God and you've never taken those steps to put Him on in baptism, I encourage you that in Christ there is a peace, there is a hope, and there is a promise. That great promise of rest while you're here upon this earth, and that great promise of rest one day and that hereafter. Believing that Jesus is that Son of God, confessing your faith before men, repenting of your sins. As Jesus says, going to Him that we can find rest. We'll bury you under the watery grave of baptism to where you walk in a newness of life. A life of peace, a life of hope, and a life of promise. Where you are yoked together with the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Have you taken those steps? Do you find yourself as a Christian still in great labor and great turmoil? Do you find your heart heavy laden? I encourage you, go to Christ. Turn your heart over to Him. My friends, if we can be of help to you this morning through baptism, through prayer, simply through the encouragement of the Christian brothers and sisters that are here, I ask that you come forward now, as together we stand and as we sing.